It's good to see Ethan behind the pulpit. You know, we were here 8 years ago and his dad was behind the pulpit, so this is Custer's first stand. I don't know if it was 03 or 04, brother, you came over to South Africa and we went up to Zim together. 2004? Wow, 20 years ago. I look like I've put on 20 years, but 20 years you must have been in the nursery. That's good to be with you folks this morning. My wife is right here with the Norbergs, okay? So she hasn't changed any. She still looks young. Have we got that thing ready to go up here, guys? Or am I supposed to put it on here? I don't know. Anyway, I want to show you some pictures this morning. Like I said, it's been 8 years since we were here. Over 8 years. I think it was April of last year, April last time in 2016. So it's been over 8 years since we've been here. But anyway, it indeed is good to be here. And we got to spend the last couple of nights with the Norbergs. And tonight we have to move across the river to Crookston and report to them. And then Monday we have to go to International Falls where my wife is. And Tuesday down to Duluth where her aunt is. And Wednesday down to central Wisconsin. And then Thursday over to Green Bay. And Friday down into Illinois. And then Saturday and Sunday we'll be in Indiana. And then we have to shoot across about 10 hours to get back in time to late Monday night, Labor Day, so we will be laboring, our car will be laboring, and anyway, and then Tuesday we have to go to the airport, pick up some people from Australia actually coming over to visit for the wedding, and so the wedding of Debriana, my fifth daughter, oh please pray for me. When my first daughter got married, I said, oh, I can handle this because I still got four more daughters, and now it's the fifth daughter and last daughter, and you know we have six sons, so Josh still isn't married, Drew isn't married, Josh is in California, Drew's in Virginia, Josh is going to come for the wedding. He came over to work in a church for 3 months there, Bethel Baptist Church in El Sobrante for June, July, and August. So we are empty nesters, or at least I'm an empty nester. My wife still has me to take care of, amen? But we want to try to show you some pictures here. We are glad. Why isn't this working? There, it's on. Oh, there we go. So there's Josh and Bree. Bree is now 22. As I mentioned, Josh is 19. This is a picture of the sponsoring church into Australia, the Trinity Baptist Church. And so they have been in Australia with us from the get-go. We got our visa in July of 2018, and then we were on the field by September of 2018. So it's coming up on 6 years here. And we're very thankful for their good spirit and their good attitude. They opened up a lot of doors for us and just met a lot of people in the community, worked for different people, and helped out tremendously in the church and all. They got to take some music lessons while they were there, so they both play the piano, and Josh even picked up the guitar and is able to play the classical guitar, and I was told that's how a guitar is supposed to actually be played, with plucking like that. So he does a beautiful job at that. That guitar that he's holding was actually made for him by an American missionary over there, and he brought that back with him, so that's about a $2,000 piece of equipment that they just gave to him. The church was actually having a missions conference, and the missionary had asked me, who made the guitar, he asked me if I wanted to buy that guitar. I said, what do you got to have for it, $2,000 US or Aussie? And he said, yeah, that'd be nice. I said, oh, I just can't lay out that kind of money for a guitar. And so he invited me to preach at his missions conference a couple hours away, and we went down there. And there was the guitar sitting up on the platform. And he said, Josh, come on up here and play with me on your guitar. And they decided to raise that money. What they were going to do is take that $2,000 and buy six guitars for guys in the Philippines that they knew wanted guitars. But instead, they decided to raise that money, send that money to the Philippines, and just give Joshua that guitar. So he was able to use that in several ways. Now, I think you probably know that Australia is about the size of the U.S. In fact, it looks a lot like the U.S. if you just flip it upside down. So when we got to Australia, now let me just back up. When we were with you the last time, we were asking for you to pray for a sponsor into the country. And I had not even told my wife. We were with you in April, and I had told my wife that I hadn't told her, but I said to myself, self, if you don't have a sponsor by the 1st of August, then you just need to go back to Africa and work it out. Maybe you misread this thing. But on the 1st of August, I'm not kidding you, I opened up my email there in Emmaus at the missions chamber, and here was a letter from the Trinity Baptist Church inviting me to be sponsored in by them. And that really was a blessing. So they are in Brisbane. And when we got there then in September, Pastor Mike Leslie said, you know, now by the way, when you go into Australia, you're supposed to work within 60 miles, 100 kilometers of your employer. And they were like my employer, according to immigration. Mike had explained to them that independent Baptists, you know, like to reach out and stretch out. So they had said prior to us getting there that I could go anywhere on the East Coast. So that's a long area. And then when I landed, the visa said that I could go anywhere in Australia. And the visa was a permanent visa. So I didn't have to be there for 2 years and then reapply for another 2 years before I could apply for permanent like most people do. They gave this old guy, you know, opportunity to go anywhere in Australia for a long time. I guess they didn't want me around. go out in the outback, Brother Will, I get lost, you know. I think maybe that's what they were saying. I don't know. Anyway, what a blessing. What a blessing. So I knew God wanted us there, and he wants us to stay there. He wants us to work there. He wants us to labor there. I don't know where. So we began to look around. We began to pray about where God would have us. But, you know, when we left Africa, we thought, okay, we'll be able to speak English. We can speak Aussie. But I'm not so sure that you can speak Aussie without knowing some terms. And these are just a few of the terms that we've had to get used to there. We said something to the Norbergs last night about, let's not go to Macca's. And they said, Macca's? Anybody know where Macca's is? Macca's is McDonald's, okay? So, and anyway, I wanted to take them there for a cuppa. But anyway, so pronunciation. Now, so in the last 9 months, we have had several visitors from the States, which included our son and family, and then my brother and family, and then Pastor Chris and Jackie Gable came, Pastor Roland and Isaac came, along with the Defoe family. Now, I throw those pictures up there because I think most of you know my pastor. And this is the young man that Debriana is going to marry. So we knew his mom before they were ever married. She was just a teenager. And then we've known Joel's family for 40 years. So interesting how the Lord brought them to our church about 30 years ago. And then Debriana and Jordan are the same age. So even though Bree was on the, I got to tell you, this is so precious. I'm just telling you, you know, you talk about trusting and obeying. So years ago, somebody said to me when we went to Africa, before we ever went to Africa, they said, Brother Jerry, what are you going to do about husbands for your daughters? And I said, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do, you know. And I hadn't even thought about it. And I did not know that 4 years ago when this young man went off to Pensacola Christian College, his mom said to him, is there anybody that you're interested in that might be a wife someday? And he said, he said, maybe Bree Wilhite. And so for 4 years, he never dated a girl. He just prayed for Bree. And 2 years ago when we were back, his dad came to me after a service and said, you know, my son has his eye on Bree, and we think she'd, I told him if you can get her, she'd be a good catch. Now, you saw she's not like a fat fish, okay, so she wouldn't be that kind of a catch, you know, but Bree is such a wonderful gal. And you know, so God just gave my daughters wonderful, wonderful men, and we're just so looking forward to them getting married 2 weeks from tomorrow, or yesterday. Better not be 2 weeks from tomorrow. I'm supposed to be back and preach that message. Pray for me as I do that. What a blessing. I'm telling you, kids, man, there aren't any kids in here. Yeah, there's a few kids. You know, you wait on God, and God will give you the right spouse at the right time in the right way. And I'm a living testimony of that. Don't run ahead of God. Don't run behind God. You walk with God. So anyway, all right, enough tears, baby. This is our place. Pastor mentioned we're in Dalby. We live in Dalby, although we have some regions around us. This gives you some idea of where Dalby is. It's 3 hours in from Brisbane. But Queensland there is 2.5 times the size of the state of Texas. And that Texans don't like to hear that, you know. I don't know how many North Dakotas you could stick in there, but it's a big, big state. And so those are some of the towns there. Just I'll mention Roma in a little bit here, but this is where we live, and Dalby is a smaller town. It has quite a catchment area of 35,000. They bus kids in from those areas. It's one of the last major towns west of the Great Divide. You all know what that is. That's that mountain range that's near the coast. And it's on the Wargo Highway. And the Wargo Highway is only about a block from our house. And so we hear the truck traffic going up and down that literally all night and all day long. It is a rural area known for its cotton and crops and piggeries and feedlots and egg farms. There is approximately 15 to 20 feedlots. So we have a large feedlot not far from us. We do have some wild animals around there. We have white-tailed deer, believe it or not. And we haven't seen any, but people have seen them. We have a lot of kangaroos. By the way, in the foyer, you'll find my display, and you'll see a little plaque that's laying on the table that has a kangaroo and an emu on it. And it's on the Australian crest. And by the way, it's a kangaroo skin back there. But the kangaroos outnumber the Aussies about 2.5 to 1. So we have a lot of roos out there, and that's no ruse. Some of you got that. Some of you will get that in the middle of the afternoon when you're taking your Baptist nap, and you'll wake up laughing. So we have a lot of animals out there. We have the largest feedlot in Australia with nearly 80,000 head of cattle. That's all in a pen, okay? So that's a big feedlot. And then we have one of the busiest sale yards, averaging 500 head of cattle every Wednesday of the year, regardless of holidays. Now this picture is of the Roma sale yard, and they sell 8,000 head of cattle every Tuesday. Some of those feedlots, they ship directly to the slaughterhouses, so they don't even go to the sale yard. So it gives you some idea. We supply a lot of meat and eggs for Asia, Southeast Asia, things like that. So that's the area. That's the kind of people we're dealing with. We're dealing with farmers. I grew up on a farm in Iowa, and so I think the Lord, you know, prepared me for this area. So a lot of different crops that we grow there, and some of those things are mentioned there. But cotton, I mentioned cotton. There's some stats about cotton, like one round bale of cotton, that's a large bale, like you have hay bales around here. That produces four smaller rectangular bales. One rectangular bale is enough to make 800 men's dress shirts or 1,200 pillowcases. So each big round bale of cotton would be four times that. And those cotton bales, it takes 10 minutes to process one of those. We've been to the gin twice. There was a fellow that I met out door to door who works there at one of the cotton gins. We have two cotton gins in Dalby, and there's one just about 35, 40 minutes down the road. So just everywhere you look, there's cotton, cotton, cotton. I've actually got to ride in one of those harvesters. Just interesting, the connection. Listen, we didn't know one soul when we went to Dalby. And we just started getting out and meeting people and things like that. And the first holiday that they observed there besides Christmas was Australia Day. And we went there and they had a breakfast in the park. So Debbie and I and the kids went. We ended up sitting next to this couple, and they heard our accent, and man, I tell you, I don't want to change my accent to an Aussie accent, because it opens up so many doors for me. You wouldn't believe how many people say, oh, you sound like you're from America. Now, I will tell you this, they call me a Yank, and they even call the Southerners Yanks, and the Southerners don't like that at all. Hey, Yank, what you doing here? So they invited us out to their cotton farm, and took us out there one day, a couple months later, and let us actually ride in that machine. So Sean was the fellow that was running the machine. I pray for Sean. So there's a lot of people that we met and we pray for. Anyway, let's go on. Sometimes it gets a little wet. We can get a rainy season. When we moved there, my neighbor said, Jerry, he said, Dalby has four seasons, hot, cold, wet, and dry. And that's true. So this is our winter season. It has been cold, but I noticed just yesterday or day before, it was 80 degrees over there in the wintertime. How about that? So it does get a little bit warm over there. Now, we don't deal with problems any different than the problems that you deal with. We just have a lot of dysfunctional homes, people shacking up together, a lot of alcohol and drugs, even some of this in our town. And, of course, because of the drugs and alcoholish crime, I had volunteered to work at the courthouse until they found me on the crime list. No, I'm just kidding. I volunteered to work there, and oh, my, I was checking people in before they went in to see the judge. And so this one guy comes in, he checks in, and I see all the charges against him. He had about 25 charges against him, one chap. Anyway, another lady came up, and I said, oh, hi, so-and-so. I called her by name because I'd met her door-to-door. She didn't like meeting the Baptist preacher, you know. Then there was another lady. She comes in, and she's all dolled up, you know, to stand in front of the judge. I said, oh, hi, so-and-so. Oh, hi, pastor. I don't volunteer there anymore. I thought maybe it's putting people in too much of an awkward position. But anyway, some racial issues, a lot of spiritual hardness. Those are the problems we deal with. Now, I want to tell you about our house, because with all those kids, some of you don't know, we have 11 children. And We've never been able to afford a house, and when we were on staff at Lehigh Valley, they provided a house for us. Got to Africa, not sure we wanted to own a house. But the Lord literally dropped this into our lap through some inheritance money. And we were given an inheritance we had no idea we were going to get, absolutely no idea, but we decided we wanted to buy a house with it. So when we moved to Dalby, it's a wonderful way how the Lord gave us a place to rent. It was just wonderful. But about a year and a half later, we decided, let's buy a house with this money. So by that time, we had learned what kind of house to buy, what kind of house to avoid, blah, blah, blah. And we began to look at houses, and one day we were headed out the house to look at a house on the other side of town. I came down the steps, and I just happened to look out at Owen's house across the way, and Owen's headlights were on his car. And so I went over there to warn him. Well, I found him working on a taillight. We were talking. He said, "You want to buy a house? What are you looking for?" I said, "We're looking for a four-bedroom house, two-bath. We want it to be pier and beam." Now, that sets up a little bit. You see the gap there. So there are piers under that go down 20 feet. And then they put I-beams across that, and then they build the house on top of that. And that's the kind of house you want because the soil shifts over there a lot. So if you don't have a good foundation, your house is going to shift. You can preach that. So he says, "You're looking for a house. What are you looking for?" And I said, this. And he goes, And he pointed right over my head and said, "I've got a house just like that I'm thinking about selling." The problem was it was in a development, and it's the next development over. Our house was on the edge of one development, then there was a ditch, and then there was the next development. And one of the other neighbors had said, "Oh, Jerry, you'll never touch a house over there for under $400,000, Aussie dollars." So when he said, "I've got a house just like that I'm thinking about selling right over there," I thought, "Oh, it's going to be 400 something." All we had was 350,000 Aussie dollars to spend. That's all we had. And he strokes his chin. He says, He looks at me out of the corner of his eye and he said, $350,000? Same dollar amount. I hadn't told him. I said, "I want to see that house." So the next day we looked at that house and they sold it to us. So praise the Lord, it was right around the corner from where we were living, and we use this property for everything. Now I made that sign for my wife. We call it Pilgrim's Rest. We have several benches sitting around there kind of to, you know, accent our motif there. But we use this property for everything. Since we don't have church property, we have 1 acre of ground. I have a shed on there. Oh, man, you guys, I got my shed. My wife got her house. I got my shed. And it's wonderful. I have my office in my shed. Now, when the kids moved out, I said to my wife, "Hey, I can move my office in the house." And she said, "I like your office in the shed." That's why she's sitting back there with the Norbergs instead of up here where I was sitting. So we've had some services in the shed. We have youth activities on the property. We've had game nights, our Christmas nativity, I'll say more about that. Baptismal service, my office is there. We had sweethearts banquets and Christmas things and men's brekkies in the shed and things like that. So we use it for Tuesday prayer services and my study and counseling and Bible studies and evangelistic meals. And God has given us 165 people, not on our property, but to our church services. So the last 5 years we've had people come, and they come from all sorts of areas. So this is Dalby, and here is a circle that is about a half hour in radius from Dalby, okay? And these are some of the little towns that are there. So we have these towns. Now, some of them are just crossroads, and then some of them are a little bit bigger, like Jandowie. Oh, I don't know, there's a little shop and some other shops there in town, a grocery store there. So I don't know, 1,000, 1,500 people maybe in Jandowie. That's a half hour north. And then Bell is a town, and we've either letterboxed or knocked on doors or know people from all of these areas that I'm going to, you know, throw up for you there. These are just, yeah. So when I talk about that catchment area, some of those would be in that catchment area of 35,000. Cecil Plains is another town that's about a half hour away. Maybe it's 1,000 people. I don't know. It's hard to guess. Ducklow's an area, McAllister's a small town, War is a small town of about 60 or 70 houses out there. And then about an hour away from Dalby, on either side, you have little towns like Maidenwell, John Darien, Oakey. Oakey's a town of about 4,000, and there's no gospel preaching church there. And then Cogan is 30 houses maybe. Williambilla is an area, I don't know if you may have saw this on the news, But about a year and a half ago, there was actually some killings out there. Now, when you get out into this area, like William Beale and Tara, there are what they call blockies out there. Blockies are people who live on a small block that they bought very, very cheaply from the government. And it might be 30 acres, it might be 5 acres, it might be 100 acres. But those areas out there, some shady characters that live out there. Now, we know several people in Tara. We've been out there several times. We had a family that was coming from there for church, and so we had thought about maybe trying to do more out there with them. They had to move because of the COVID stipulations and all. But Tara is a town of, 1,000, 2,000 people, something like that, but you have all these blocks. And so there were three police officers, and how many died, honey? Three police officers and three, four locals and two police officers died just about a year and a half ago in Weambila. And so, that was such a tragic thing. I know some police officers there in Dalby, and I thought maybe some of them had died in the fracas, but they had. But anyway, it's just like wild, wild west out there. So, a needy area. Now, I want to tell you, though, about Mark, okay? Because I met this gal, Jess, going door to door, and she wasn't interested. This was back about 3 years ago. She wasn't interested, and you could tell that they had some real needs there in the property. And so we came back here 2 years ago for some medical needs that we had, and we weren't here long. But when we went back, the first Sunday back, there was a pile of people in church, and there was a young man there, and his name was Jordan. Jordan had never been to church before, and I sat next to him at lunch, and I talked to him, and so on and so forth. But I didn't know where he lived. I didn't know his mom was Jess. But some folks had brought him to church. And so anyway, a couple months later, I think maybe Debbie was gone, but I had Josh and Bree out to Hungry Jack's, which is like our Burger King here. And right across the little wall, Josh says, "That's Jordan." I looked over, it's Jordan. And he really grew in a couple months, big guy. And got to chat and found out where he lived. And I went back and I checked my visitation list. And sure enough, this Jess is his mom. And so I thought, and Jess has four kids and they're from different men. And it's a sad story. But one day I went over there and her dad, Mark, is there. And Mark is from Weambila.
"Ah, preacher, no, I want nothing to do with God."
A couple months later, his wife had an accident, car rolled, and she got bruised, but nothing was broken. And Jordan had told me that, and so I happened to be over at the house, and there's the mom from Weambila, you know, hour away down at Jess's house, and I see her. I said, "Oh, I heard you had an accident. Glad you're okay. She still had bumps and bruises." And she says, I guess she'd found out we were praying for him, because she said, "My husband, Mark,
I don't want anything to do with God.
My husband says you can come out to our place and visit us anytime you want." I said, "Oh my, Brother Paul." So I got a phone number, and I went out there to see him, and they weren't home. And I found the conditions that he lived in. And I opened the gate. You're not supposed to do that, but I opened the gate, you know. Didn't know they were going to come shoot. And I go up there, nobody's home. But I did not see. I noticed that they had a container, 20-foot container they were living in, and there was a pop-up camper. What I didn't see was that it was sitting on the foundation of their house that had burned in a bushfire and just left the foundation, just a slab there. I didn't see that. So anyway, I leave, nobody's there. I left a Bible there and a note. You know, I stopped by. Of course, an hour out, hour back, you know, anyway. So anyway, I get a hold of him, and we set an appointment, and I go out there to see him, and I know this is a guy that doesn't want anything to do with God. So for the first 45 minutes, we just talked about small stuff and the property and the house fire and blah, 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 and then I started talking to him about the things of God. And about a half hour later, of course, I asked him, I said, would you be interested in a Bible study, something like this? This is one of these blockies, right? Right? And there's a pile of them out there, and Jerry can't get to them. Jerry's trying to do his best, okay? But I get to Mark, and so we get to talk about the things of God, and his heart had so softened in maybe 6 months, and he said to me, he said, "Jerry, right out there at the end of the drive. You take care of it, but there's a piece of ground out there. If you want to build a church building out there, you got my permission to do that. Now, he's not saved, and I don't know that I do that. But I'm just saying, you know, so these people can be reached. It just takes some time. And there's a lot of reach, and we're doing our best. Anyway, let's go on. Me and Dar, Chinchilla, town about 6,000, Baptist Union Church there, Meringenden, Kingsthorpe. Now, King Arroy, we had some folks coming for church, down from church there for about a couple years. Anyway, these different areas here. So Miles in Roma, Miles an hour and a half out, Roma's 3 hours out. No Baptist church in Roma. I know people from several different farms. I mean, we didn't know a soul. We didn't know a soul. We didn't know our sponsor when we went there. We met him one time. And God just has given us hundreds and hundreds of people. I mean, God's... Now, Toowoomba's in caps, and Tarum's in caps, and Pittsworth is in caps, because there's a church in Toowoomba, an hour away, but there's a church, a fledgling church, no pastor, up in Tarum. We've been up there. It's an hour and a half away. Pittsworth, we're helping another guy every other Sunday to try to start a work there, so on Sunday afternoons. Anyway, that's our general area. So we use the Seventh-day Adventist building. I don't know what else to do. If you have any other idea, you let me know. They use it on Saturday. We use it on Sunday. It's just something we have to do. But we've got, you know, it works out for us. And I mean, you know, they think we're going to hell that they don't believe in. But anyway, they rented this place for 25 Aussie dollars. That's about $17 a week, a Sunday. And we give them twice that now, which is not much, you know, $35 to rent a building. They've got an additional hall that Debbie is able to teach the kids in, and so we can use that. These are our members. This is Louis and his wife Sonia. Louis preached this morning. There, I told the guys last night, 6 o'clock men's prayer meeting is the same time our church starts over there, 9 o'clock Sunday morning. So it's 15 hours difference. And anyway, this is Daniel and Erica. So they've joined, and they have good baptism testimony, so on. So we've got other folks coming. We've got about 20, 25 folks that come on a Sunday, but these are the ones that are members. Here's some pictures of the Sunday school that Debbie has. Here's a couple of missionaries, Aussie guys, that are trying to plant churches in different places. And I think you probably know that I don't take money from the church, but they give money, and so we try to pass it on to various missionaries there. Here's just a few pictures. I'm not very good with photography, but these are some folks that have come, and some still come. Two of these couples come. The one couple, they had to move away. You can see there, at one point, we had three sets of twins attending services. Here's a Filipino set, an Australian set, and a Romanian set. And two of those couples asked me to pray for them to have another child. Don't ask Brother Wilhite to pray for you to have a child. You might have twins, amen? Oh, they just got too close to my wife, and some of that fertile myrtle, you know, rubbed off on them. We had a lot of people stop coming after this. No, we've met some older folks, and these all, there's a story here with all of them here. Here's a couple that comes once or twice a month. He's Aussie, she's Filipino. We see a lot of that, where Aussie guys will bring in a Filipino to marry, and I don't have a problem with that. What I have a problem with is them leaving their wife to get a younger Filipino, and I'm not saying that's what happened here, but that has happened a lot over there. But it's interesting, the number of Filipinos. Now, at the last census, there were like 300 Filipinos in town, plus those that live out in the catchment area that work on these piggeries and farm yards and things like this. Oh my, it's another story. It's just amazing. You have no idea how God is preparing you right now for something down the road. So let me go back 30 years and mention my uncle had been a missionary in the 50s and 60s in the Philippines. And at one point, his wife got Alzheimer's, and so in the early 90s, he asked Debbie and I to accompany him and his wife back to the Philippines because she had long-term memory. So she was in the Philippines, but she couldn't remember, you know, just having, for example, wash the dishes or wipe the table or something. So no short-term memory. She had long-term memory. He said, would you and Debbie go with us to the Philippines? We got our passports. We were starting to make plans for the kids. And don't you know, my uncle, the morning that he took his wife to the doctor for the last time, that afternoon he took a nap, and he had a heart attack, and he died and went to heaven. And we never got to go to the Philippines. And I was always so disappointed about that until God took me to a place where there's a lot of Filipinos. And I can say to them, where are you from in the Philippines? Oh, such and such. I said, oh, my uncle was in Baguio. Oh, I know where that is. Isn't that good? That is so good. God is so good. Just don't get over it. I mean, things happen. Things are difficult. But God doesn't change. God is still good. It may not seem like good, but all things work together for good. God's good. So we have different kinds of things like this. Here's a progressive supper at one of the people's houses. Oh, there's a story here. Oh. This couple, Temba and Sisa, little Nate there. This is such a precious story. So when I got there, Brother Leslie, the pastor, these guys are outdoorsmen, said, oh, you got to have a roof rack on your Prado. So we went down to Brisbane, and we got a roof rack, and Pastor Mike and his boys helped me put it on, blah, 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 blah. And then it started to work loose, and we got out to Dalby. I said, I got to find me a wrench for this. So I went to this shop and this shop and this shop, and finally I went to this shop looking for a little ratchet set. The last shop I was in, I walked in, I saw what they had, I turned around to walk out, and here was this guy, not working. He'd followed me in. He was looking, and I said, oh, this guy looks like he's from Africa. So I said, he looks like he's from Zimbabwe. Cheekbones, skin color. You know, I was up in Zim 36 times, so. Come find out, they had just moved in. I get to talking a little bit. Where are you from? Zimbabwe. I said, are you Shona or Ndebele? He said, Ndebele. I said, are you from Bulawayo or Zabishavani or one of the high-density suburbs? Where are you from? He said, oh, Luveve. Now, he's already shocked that I would know some of those towns. I said, Luveve. I said, I've been on Luveve Road. I said, I passed out a lot of gospel booklets there. It's a town up in Bulawayo that's just flooded with people. And I was there, you couldn't pass out books fast enough. And he lived out in Luveve, worked in Bulawayo. So I said, Vuka, sitandaze. That's something in his language. Wake up, it's time to pray. It's about the only thing I learned. Wake up, it's time to pray. Wake up, Paul, it's time to pray. So he's shocked. So we get to know them. We do some Bible studies. And about a month later, she says, Pastor, our kids, Angel and Joshua, Joshua was first grade, Angel's in kindergarten. She said, our kids are having grandparents' day at their school. And their grandparents are in Africa. Would you mind being the grandparents for our kids? I said, we'd love. And we went, and we were grandparents for the day, and we're following these little black children around. Loved every minute of it. Lunchtime, little girl comes up to me. She's in Joshua's class, and she says, Mister, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. She said, are you really Joshua's grandfather? Amen. Amen. That's good. That's good. So we're praying for their salvation. Oh, so many, and the kids have friends, and there's a lot of things to pray about. Now, my wife said this is a good place to end the slides, but it still keeps going. This is what we need. This is what we need, and this is what we value, you know. And I'm serious. If you ever get to the point where you say, oh, we have to cut a missionary, which I hear you don't have to, amen? But if you have to, just don't stop praying for Brother Wilhite. You can cut my support. Just don't stop praying for Brother Wilhite. Because Jesus said, man, I'll always pray. And if there's anything we have found that is critical, listen, when you're working in hard soil, you learn how to pray. And when things are difficult, you learn how to pray. And sometimes we don't learn how to pray until things get difficult, right? Happens to all of us. Paul instructs, pray without ceasing. So God has given us so many people, almost so many people. And I do door-to-door work, and it's taken me a while. I'm only halfway through the town, I'm sorry. But sometimes I get to a door and I stay a long time, 45 minutes. I can tell you stories about that. But this is a list of people that I have met on one street and praying for them. Now, these are different lines that we put in the water, okay? So these are different ways we've tried to make connections and tried to talk to different people. Now, Louis Lou, right up the top, you're saying, what's that? Well, Louis, who preached over there, he has a business that he travels on a job, and it takes him all over, so he puts tracks in the toilets wherever he goes. So we make sure he has plenty of tracks, amen? But cadets, that's something that Josh was involved in, and we met people. I do door-to-door. I do follow-up, and I find a lot of times people don't have a Bible. Oh, man, I don't have the time to tell you about the Bible container. I told Brother Gary about it. I got so many stories. And booths and tables at public events, and I built a miniature Noah's Ark. It's 8 feet long. I got the idea from Brother Norberg. He did one down in Bloemfontein many years ago, and so I got the idea. Mine was a little smaller. I took that around to different places. Just friendships, helping hands. I mean, there's so many needs. You could go 24/7, just contacts with people, just this. I mean, the flooding, for example, the flooding in town. What did I do when the flood hit town? I went to CRT, Community Rural Traders, Central Rural Traders, and I bought myself a pair of gum boots, and I put them on and went out and started helping people. And it gave me a chance to talk to people. So that's the way you got to do that. Letterboxing, that's where you can put the tracks and stuff in boxes. We do that about once a year in Dalby, and we've done it to some of those other towns as well. Volunteer work. Now notice right there at the end it says PCYC, and that stands for Police and Community Youth Center. I wish I'd have volunteered here 5 years ago. I didn't know what it was. I saw a lot of people around there. Finally, I just was impressed in January or February to stop in and say, hey, listen, can I help you around here? And they signed me up to start helping young people. Now, because we have a number of broken homes there, you've got a lot of one parent, and the parent's working, and the kids come home from school, and they don't have anybody to teach them how to drive. And over there, you have to have 100 hours of driving before you can get your license. So it has to be logged, and it has to be with a mentor, and blah, blah, blah. So they plugged me in, and so I have met so many people and families as a result of helping these kids get their driving time in. And I'll tell you a story about that in a little bit. Our Christmas Nativity, some of you have heard about that. We'll talk about that. These are just different ways that we have used things to try to get a hold. Now, Roma letterboxing. Oh, my. I mentioned Roma's 3 hours away. I keep coming up here to look at the clock, okay? So, Roma letterboxing. Now, that's my brother right there. I think the Norbergs have met Terry. Terry's a little younger than me, but he doesn't have any hair. I don't know if life was harder on him or he just outgrew his hair. I don't know. But anyway, they came out in July, and so we pulled into Roma, and we dropped the kids off, and we're looking at a map here to see where I'm going to drop my brother and his wife and so on and off. We came to an area that I hadn't seen on the map, and I thought, oh, here's some streets. Oh. So Debbie and I stopped, and I sent her down one street, and I got on a side street, and I'm going down this side street. I'm just putting stuff in the boxes, and I got to, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. You are not going to believe this. But I'm going to tell you anyway, because I think you believe in a real God that does real things, okay? So I'm walking down this street, and I come to a big white fence, and I cannot find the mailbox. So I walk this way, and I walk this way, and I've done a lot of that in my life, you know, a lot of door-to-door, a lot of that 40 years now. Walking, I couldn't find the mailbox, and about that time, the door opens on the side of the house, and a big guy comes out. Big guy, big cowboy hat, and he has his sunnies on, his shades, his sunglasses. And he's coming down the steps. Oh, I wanted to run away. I'm a little guy. He's a big guy. I'm an old guy. He's a young guy. I want to run away. He's dressed like he's ready to go out and rustle up some cattle, you know. And so I said, sir, and I'm praying all the time. You know, it is possible to pray and talk at the same time. Don't get me killed by this guy. He looks rough and tough. And so anyways, so I said, sir, I said, I'm a Baptist pastor from Dalby. And I said, I've just got some literature here I'd like you to consider. He takes it and he looks at it and he says, you know, we ain't got a Baptist church in this town. He said, several years ago, I was dating a girl who was a Baptist from Brisbane. And her church was going to come out here and start a Baptist church, but they never did. I'm not making this up. He says, but then she went as a missionary to Africa. And he thought it was a short-term thing, but he never saw her again. So he said, I married another gal. And as he's telling me the story, the tears are coming down from behind those sunglasses.
He says, but she gave me two children, then she cheated on me, and then I had to do what I could to get custody of my kids, and people were praying. And he said, whatever I need to do to help you get a Baptist church started in this town, I'll help you. Now, how does that work?
Don't you tell me God isn't alive. Don't you tell me he doesn't care. Don't you tell me he's not working in hearts and lives of people.
I'm thinking, God brought me from America through Africa to Australia to Rome, of all places, to that street, to that house. And he said, this is 9 o'clock in the morning. He says, I usually leave about 7, but I was a little sick this morning, so I'm getting a late start on the day. Well, why? But God's good. His name is Will. Man, God's good.
We had over 700 people this last Christmas come to our live nativity scene. How do we know that? Well, Debbie, at the end of the driveway, she's all dressed nice. You know, she's not dressed like a character. And she would give people a coin. And then the people have to come up there. And Joss is dressed up like a soldier. And he's taking their coins so they can get into Bethlehem, dropping it in a box. And at the end of about a week and a half or so, we counted up, we'd had 700 people in and on our property, not just driving by and looking at our lights. Dolby has a light competition. I usually get in on that so I can get on the map so people know to come to the west side of town. Oh man, we met a lot of people. Oh, I could tell you stories about this. Anyway, so this is a couple. This is another African couple. I'm sorry, you just mean so much to me. I want you to pray for me. I met this gal just probably March, April. And I'm supposed to be taking teenage young people. And I pull, here's a lady that's like 28, 29, standing outside her house. I said, are you Martha? And she said, yes. I said, she looks African, just like when I saw Temba. I said, this lady looks African. She gets in the car, starts driving. She's from Kenya. I said, oh, I used to be in Africa. I was in South Africa. She was in the area of Kenya where a good friend of mine from Bible college was serving. She's Catholic. The story started rolling. The culture that we learned there, you know, all sorts. I said, your husband, what does he do? She told me what he did. She says he's home now because he works kind of a split shift, blah, blah, blah. She worked at night. He worked during the day, but he was home. That was his day off or something. So I stop in there and I meet Collins and we get to chatting and he needs to learn how to drive. He had a license from Kenya, but he didn't know how to drive. But he had to have at least 10 hours in before he could register with PCYC. So I said, well, I'll take you in my car. I took him out in my car, been out in my car, I don't know, 3-4 times. And he was so happy that he met somebody who had been in Africa. I mean, these are the only two black people, families that I know in town. Not counting the Aboriginals, but the two African couples in town. Now, I think, okay, God, you, bing, 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 bing. These people, I think the two best friends that they have in town are Temba and Sisa and Jerry and Debbie. How's that happen? And she had moved in about 6 months ago. It was 6 months when we met, last November, it'd be 10 months ago, 8 months ago, whatever. So would you pray for them? They're both Catholic. But he was so, it was such a challenge for him to drive on the road. And I was afraid. I mean, I'm not kidding you, Brother Gary. He'd go 6 inches, and then he'd jam on the brake. Then he'd go 6 inches and jam on the brake. We're going to get killed. So the next day, I said, I'll drive. And I took him out to a farmer that I know that has a long driveway. We went up and down his driveway, but not on the road where all the road trains are coming, you know, the big semis. Oh, my. But you pray for Collins and Martha there. And so here's some pictures of some of the different places where we volunteered. Oh, I painted a building here. That's a whole story there. But, oh, contacts that we made and different things like this and the ark that I set up in different places. What story? So we use signage and things like that. Now, we're not just trying to start a work in Dalwi. I like the Roma thing. But honestly, I think for anything to start in Roma, I think somebody's just going to have to move there and just put down roots and start working with people. And we're doing that in Dalby, and we're trying to do so reaching out, I don't know. I do some of this. Those are scripture pictures. This is what Sister Rachel's dad started many years ago at Lehigh Valley, and so I decided to encapsulate those, put those in about a 3 or 4 minute video, and then I've been sending those out to Roman Miles and places like this. So I do some of that in my shed. There are special days that they have, like Australia Day, Remembrance Day. They have days for memorial-type days and things like that. We have been trying to prepare people with a Bible Institute, so we do some of this. Last year we did this, How to Study Your Bible. This year we're working on the study on prayer. And I like to write. I did not put this together. There's a story behind that. There's a story behind this. There's stories behind all of this. This is one of the scripture pictures that we use. When I go door to door, this is laminated and has Hebrews 9:27 on the back side. And I usually use Hebrews 9:27. And I'll go up to a door and ring a doorbell. People come to the door and I say, hey, listen, I'm kind of new in town. Just trying to get to know some people today. We haven't lived in Dalby a long time. And you can probably tell from my accent that I wasn't born here. And then they laugh. And then they want to know why I'm in Dalby. Well, and then I talk, ask about them. Are you new to Dalby? You know, how long you been in Dalby? You got kids, blah, blah, blah. Just small stuff, chit-chat stuff, you know. And then I might say, well, hey, you know, I told them I'm a preacher. Give me 5 minutes of your time. I just want to do my job here. And I'll show them that picture. I say, can you figure this picture out? No. I say, well, this is this and this and this and this. And I have a chance to sow some seed and water some seed. And anyway, Bible studies. Oh my. I put together a self Bible study. Hope I had one person take one and not return it. Okay, but when we were in Africa, we had 100 new students every month. 1,200 students a year for about 12 to 14 years. We were there 16 years. So we had a lot of students studying. But you know what? In Australia, I maybe have sent out 6 studies in the last 6 years. Different soil over there. I put one of these together. Why? Because we had people committing suicide. Oh, there's a story behind this. There's a story behind this. A lot of stories. But when you pray for us, pray for other Aussie pastors who are serving the Lord faithfully in small churches and have been for years. This dear brother here, oh, Brother Dunn and his dear, dear family. In fact, Priscilla's coming over. She's there in the center. She's coming over for Bree's wedding. But Brother Dunn is just one of our dear, dear friends. His ministry is about 2.5 hours. Away, and he's just a straight shooter. I don't think in 18 years I think he's had the church. I don't think he's seen anyone saved in 18 years. It's not because he doesn't have salvation straight. It's just the type of soil that we're working in over there. We have been able to provide some Bibles for various folks, and that's been good. We got to go back to South Africa last year for our son Joel's wedding. And this is one of the works there. Now, Brother George Hammett is working with Washington. Here's a picture of Albert and Washington. So he's working with them. And Albert's got a ministry out in Matiba. And then Washi led the church there in the other side of town to actually buy some property, build a building completely with African money, completely with the black Africans' money. So that's been good to go back, and it was good to go back and see them. When we went to Australia a year ago, we intended to see Audrey. Audrey's the only Afrikaner that we saw saved while we were there, and she was looking forward to us coming. She was 80-some years of age. She had experienced some health problems, but she actually had Brother Albert go in and help her set up a bed in another room so that Debbie and I would have a place to stay when we got there for Joel's wedding. And right before we got to the, 10 minutes before we got to the airport in Brisbane to fly to Africa, our son texted us and said Audrey had died. Well, we got over there. I had buried her husband. I had buried a son. And now I had the opportunity to bury her. At least I got to preach the gospel to some of the other relatives. So Joel is married there. That's Shanae. They want to come over to Debriana's wedding, but they've been denied their visa. I told them if they went to Mexico, they could have just walked across the border, but her visa was denied. This is some of the suffering. I don't call it persecution, but this is the kind of stuff that we face, you know, over there. So, you know, just pray for us. We're grateful for this, but this is what we need, and we're so thankful for it. So thank you so much for your prayers. There are new prayer cards out on the table, and I hope that you'll pick them up. If you run out, I'll try to keep a check on that. Maybe, Debbie, you can check that. But there's a tub underneath that has more in there. So please take a new prayer card and please pray for us. Okay, Pastor Custer.
I hope your heart was stirred hearing that. I was talking with Brother Nelson last night.